The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. So much coming your way for the next hour. We have special guests. We got all kinds of analysis. You don't want to miss it. And speaking of special guests, Chad Johnson joining us in studio. And, of course, you know he'll show you the best NFL celebrations of all time. Maybe throw one in there that he never got to do. Wait till you hear about it. And Matt Nagy says the time is now for the Bears. Why that means we might see Justin Fields starting by week one. And when there's a top 10 quarterback list, you know Dan Orlovsky's going to have something to say. We'll reveal his own list and why Mina couldn't wait to destroy it today. All right, you see him right there. Dan and Mina are with you for this hour. Field Yates as well to make sense of it all, right, Field? And coming up, someone will tell you why the best part of Jalen Hurts' game is something his Eagles coach and OC have never used before. But let's roll with the reason today is important. 2 weeks from today, veteran players will report to Packers training camp. But will Aaron Rodgers be among them? Or a team change be in his future? Last season, Tom Brady became the second starting QB to win a Super Bowl with multiple teams. The first was Peyton Manning, who did it with the Colts and Broncos. Peyton had some thoughts on this Rodgers-Packers quarterback situation.
The fact that Aaron Rodgers might not play this year is, I can't fathom it. He's too good of a player, too fun to watch for the fans. I personally hope it's in Green Bay. My gut is he's not coming to Denver. My gut is Denver's going to, you know, have Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater be their quarterback. And at this point, you kind of know what your plan is. We can't be having a new quarterback 3 weeks before the season.
So, Dan, I realize he's Aaron Rodgers, right? And he's one of the greatest to ever play the game. But we're still only 2 weeks away. How hard is it, even no matter who you are, to mesh with a new team and with you know, if you're going to go to Denver, you're going to change everything up? How hard would that be for him to do?
I think it'd be a lot harder and much more important and urgent for everybody else outside of Aaron Rodgers. First of all, it becomes, where are you coming from and where are you going scheme-wise? Now, Aaron Rodgers grew up in the Mike McCarthy, Matt LaFleur scheme, which is a West Coast offense. West Coast offense is concepts and words over numbers and digits. And now he's going to go to, say, Denver with Pat Shurmur, who, again, grew up in the West Coast offense. So for Aaron, it's not like this English to Spanish 180-degree turn. The analogy I would say is like it's like knowing what a noun or a verb or an adjective is, and then, okay, now I got to go learn what a pronoun or an adverb is. Like, it's just a lateral step up. And so it's not going to be that big a deal for Aaron. It's a bigger deal for everybody else. Like, let's say Pat Shurmur goes, okay, we're going to use some motion and naked bootlegs, right, when we roll out. Aaron goes, well, if I go to my left, I don't like a comeback out there. I like a corner. Well, the receivers in Denver know that this bootleg to the left gives me this split on the numbers, right? Well, if it's corner, he's got to get inside. So they got to learn a bunch of new stuff. Or let's say they're going to use much more pre-snap motion like they did in Green Bay. Well, now the offensive line's got to realize how that impacts their blocking. Yeah. If Aaron goes, well, I want to utilize it. So I think it's a tremendous amount more impact on everybody else getting comfortable with what Aaron would want rather than vice versa.
Right.
Yeah, Dan, you make some great points there about the Packers offense and their scheme. And not just, by the way, because you're dressed like a retired Green Bay Packer today coming home, but because of your knowledge, I think, of that offense and really how Aaron embraced it. You know, part of the reason he was successful last year, because he's Aaron Rodgers, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but also because he embraced some of the concepts you were talking about, the pre-snap motion, the things that Matt LaFleur brought to Green Bay. And to leave that team, not only would there be an adjustment period, but frankly, I think it would be a downgrade. You know, I've been talking a lot about how much I love this Denver roster. I think they're really underrated in terms of the skill players. I love the defense. But Green Bay has a lot of advantages schematically, from a coaching perspective.
Sure.
And then I think as a complete team, when you look at this depth chart from top to bottom, from the skill players, the much maligned skill players are actually really solid, very good offensive line. And then on defense, I think this is a defense that was average last year that I expect to improve this season. We saw Rashawn Gary, who I've talked about as a potential breakout player, pass rusher on the rise. They've got a couple of really great safeties. I drafted Eric Stokes to compete with Kevin King. On top of all that, they play in the NFC. And if I was NFC North, rather, and if I was Rodgers, I'd rather be in a very winnable division than in the AFC West, where you have to deal with the likes of Patrick Mahomes.
Field, it feels like we've decided that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Packer again. He's going to go back, and it seems like that's where everybody's trending right this second. Is that where we are here?
Well, first of all, Laura, if I'm a little bit shook throughout the show, I apologize. I wasn't expecting Dan Orlovsky to draw a metaphor that involved parts of speech. That's usually Mina's territory.
He's an English major.
I'm trying to make it through the next hour without too many fumbles, but I can't make any promises.
I don't even know what that
means. No, I don't think anything's changed, to be candid, Laura. I think that all the problems that Aaron Rodgers had with the Packers that were brought to light by Adam Schefter on the day of the draft in late April have persisted. As a matter of fact, we've seen no movement on any front that leads me to believe that Rodgers is any more inclined to go back to Green Bay. So while it's clear to all of us on this show that Aaron's best chance to win another Super Bowl would to find some middle ground between he and the organization and run it back. They've won 26 regular season games over the past 2 years. It's clear on principle right now that isn't option A in Aaron's mind. And if it is, I think we all agree as well that the Broncos are one of the most palatable trade suitors. And while Peyton Manning is right and Dan made outstanding points about how a quarterback has to transition, a trade to Denver wouldn't be about whether the offense was running at full Voltron by week one. It's about the opportunity for Denver, a stacked roster everywhere but quarterback, to acquire a player who's coming off of an MVP season who could be their guy for the next 5 years. I still think if he's traded, the place that I will be looking, if I were Green Bay, for the best set of assets and landing spot would be the Denver Broncos.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, and I agree completely, Field, that it's not just like a one-year rental. But even this year, like let's say the trade happens and he goes to Denver. First of all, they got a very good defense that it would allow for like some of that growing pains offensively. Like you don't have to go score 30 right out the gate to win some games in Denver. And then the second thing would be that like the understanding that this schedule for them is kind of cake in the first month in Denver. So there's like a for a somewhat seamless transition for Aaron Rodgers. Also, I'm wearing green because it's the open week, guys. And if you guys don't know that correlation,
it's very good.
We are no longer friends.
Okay, well, it makes sense. But the other thing that Field and I didn't get the memo on was that it's Christmas in July today with you and Mina. So I guess that while you wore green, Mina contributed
firing
with a very holiday feeling here. From one NFC quarterback in the North, NFC North, to another, Rodgers has the third most touchdown passes over the last three seasons. But you might be surprised who's fifth on this list as you look at the most touchdown passes in that part of the NFL. Kirk Cousins has 91 touchdown passes in his Vikings career. And even though Minnesota missed the playoffs last year, they have their eye on the prize in 2021. Here's linebacker Anthony Barr on the state of the team. He says, I really do believe that we have a Super Bowl winning team this year. Obviously, there is a lot of steps to get to that point. I've been through good seasons and bad seasons with this team, but I really feel like this year is going to be special. So, you know, Anthony Barr, he's right. He's been through the good and the bad there. He's making a note to point out this year as a really positive one, and maybe some big things are going to happen. And some of that could have to do with the fact that there's uncertainty around Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But Mina, with all of that, and maybe Rodgers is out of the division, are the Vikings really in that conversation of Super Bowl contenders?
No. Sorry, Anthony. I do think if Rodgers is in the division, they're the favorite to win. But I think the Vikings are a really balanced team. I think they're a team that's going to be better this season, in large part because while the offense was good and they've actually been consistently very solid since Kirk Cousins arrived, the defense took a huge nosedive last season. It was very un-Mike Zimmer-esque, and they get players back. A lot of that was because of personnel. So you have Danielle Hunter coming back from injury. Michael Pierce, incredibly underrated defensive lineman, more experience in that secondary. They, are one of the units in the NFL that's most likely to improve and most likely to put them in the conversation for a wild card. But Super Bowl contenders in a conference that has the Bucs, the Rams, I just don't see it for Minnesota.
All right, so the Vikings have a Super Bowl winning offense. One. Two, Mike Zimmer's been a part of a lot of great defenses, like Mina referenced. But he knows that he can't win a Super Bowl with a style or scheme of defense that he's been great in the NFL with. The last 15 years, he's as good defensive mind as we've had. But in his words, he said he can't call defense the way he has in the past. Now, the Vikings are a defense that, one, has lived in a lot of base defense, four defensive linemen, three linebackers, and four defensive backs, okay? They've brought a ton of pressures in the double A gaps right next to each center. They played a lot of middle field open, two safety, like shell coverages. And Mike Zimmer has said, we can't do that anymore. So the fascinating thing is, how does one of the best defensive minds in football, and honestly, he's got a ton of pressure to fix this. He's there as a defensive-minded head coach. How does he reinvent a good defense? Is it taking one of those linebackers off the field and putting a nickel back on the field? Did they draft a guy like Chaz Surratt out of North Carolina to play that fringe defensive back, linebacker? Are they going to play with five DBs? That is one of the more fascinating stories in the NFL to me is this. Mike Zimmer has to win, and his defense has to be the reason they win. This is Super Bowl-caliber offense. Kirk Cousins has proven he's plenty good enough. Christian Darrisaw is going to be very good. They got a great run game, two elite receivers. Is the defense going to be good enough to make sure that this is a Super Bowl contending roster? Because if it's not, Mike Zimmer will be out of a job.
Okay, Field, we're going to you in 1 second, but Mina, I got to give you a chance here. Go fast what you wanted to say.
No, I'll be really quick because I think Dan made some excellent points about Zimmer and whose defenses have constantly evolved over the years. He brought that double A-gap blitz to the NFL. It was copied. They move off of it.
Yep.
I think he's keenly aware of what they have to do, particularly in that secondary with sub-packages. My question, I think Field would have a great answer for this, is do they have the personnel to do it? Because I mentioned Danielle Hunter and Michael Pierce, but when you look in that secondary, it's a lot of young players, not a lot of stars.
Field.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I'll turn to that defensive personnel then, Mina, and I'll just note that, by the way, I actually sort of think the defense for this team sets the floor and the offense sets the ceiling. Like, they can only achieve greatness if Kirk Cousins does what he hasn't previously done, which is in the highest leverage moments carry that team to victory, specifically end of season and playoff games. But defensively, I think there are sort of three ways they get back to their Zimmer ways. One, the reshaped secondary is better because Mike Zimmer can turn veterans who are aging into really good players once again. He did it with Terrence Newman for years. That's just one of many examples.
Good point.
Two, the beefed up interior defensive line with, as Mina mentioned, Michael Pierce and also Sheldon Richardson makes them a far more formidable run defense. And then three, they had a couple of players, one being Anthony Barr himself, who I thought last year did not play up to his own standards.
Was okay.
And if he gets back to the level that he was at, which is why the Vikings reinvested him for 5 years and major money just a couple of free agencies ago, this defense turns back the clock and looks like the 2018-2017 version that I think is good enough, if Aaron Rodgers is not there, to make them the clear favorites in the division.
It's really interesting. Dan Orlovsky said that this Vikings offense and that guy right there, Kirk Cousins, is a Super Bowl caliber offense and quarterback. Devontae Smith is selected 10th overall in the NFL draft, now reunited with one of his former college quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, in Philly. And here's what he had to say about their connection already. He said, it's great to have that connection come back. It just feels like old times, like back in college. Certainly that comfortability factor works both ways. And Dan, a lot of questions about Devontae's size coming out of the draft, even though we feel like he's an outlier as a player and what he brings to the table anyway. But how do the Eagles implement this new offense with Devontae and Jalen?
I would use him like the Chargers have used Keenan Allen, or I would use him the way the Saints have used Michael Thomas. Move him around. Help him out, because there's things you can do for a guy who's not physically dominant to physically dominate. You can put him in a slot. Putting him in the slot, what that does is forces defenders to play a little bit off. Look at how the defender for Georgia is not going to get any kinds of hands on Devontae. He slow plays it. He's by him about 8 or 9 yards. Never gets touched just because they brought him in the slot. Then you can motion him. Start him inside, motion him down to the bunch. Again, his superpower is the wiggly release. He sets the defender. He has to fall off because of that motion. Easy touchdown. Now, let's say you put him in the slot and they want to play press man. Well, you put him in the slot. Look at the difference between the outside corner, about 2 yards, inside corner, about 3 yards. Now Devontae could square him up. Again, the superpower is the ability to get wiggly on the release. He can get skinny. That defensive back wants to be stabbing with the outside arm. He's using the inside arm 5 yards downfield. Devontae has already won on this route because you moved him inside. It gave him that extra yard of separation from the defensive back. Yes. And then he dictates what that defender can do to him. That's what teams like the Chargers have done with Keenan Reed. Again, the Saints have done with Michael Thomas. So I think it's a huge aspect of them allowing his talent to shine just by the creative things they can do before the snap, because he's so important for not only the success of this offense, but the development of Jalen Hurts.
I love the Keenan Allen comp. That didn't even occur to me until you just said it now, Dan, thinking about the way the Chargers used him, especially last season inside on bunches, because Keenan's not a big guy at all. If you ever see him in real life, I mean, he's not Devontae skinny, but he's not imposing at the line of scrimmage. And offensive coordinators in L.A. have been very creative in terms of finding ways to get him open in space, get him where he is best with the ball in his hands. And you really can't do anything better with both Devontae and Jalen than looking back to how they succeeded in college. Like, frankly, you know, watching the Alabama offense, there's so much you can take away from that, and not just for Smith. But the way Sark recognized his ability to not only stretch the field vertically, but also horizontally is going to be so key to this Philadelphia offense. And then with Jalen, again, same thing. Go back to college. Look at the ways in which his coaches integrated both the run and pass game. Last year, it was very much on the fly. They were kind of grafting it onto the existing offense. Build that sucker from scratch. Go off of what he does best and build the offense around it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Field? I saw Dan trying to jump in there.
You
go, ahead,
go Field. You go. No. Go ahead, Field. We'll
okay,
get back
I
to you, Dan.
I saw Dan with the hand. But what I was going to say here is, you know, is I love the idea of making Devontae Smith, I don't know about quite Keenan Allen 2.0, but at least a reasonable facsimile of him, is I'm sure that's a thought that Nick Sirianni, the Eagles' new head coach, had, who was at one point the position coach for Keenan Allen for several years out in L.A. with the Chargers before moving into a quarterback's coach role. And I think that Devontae Smith has the chance to sort of undo some wrongs for two items that he has no responsibility over. One, if the Eagles hit with Devontae Smith all of the past blemishes with their wide receiver evaluation that you can't make it, you know, 5 feet in Philly without hearing an Eagles fan bring up, will at least temporarily be pushed aside. The J.J. Arcega-Whitesides, last year's disappointing season from Jalen Reagor, and the list goes on and on. The second one is we spent all this time in the pre-draft process debating, maybe fruitlessly, whether a guy who's only 160, 165 pounds soaking wet can be a dominant receiver in the NFL. I'm not saying they're going to be a, you know, every year three Devontae Smith-type receiver prospects who are built comparably and have anywhere close to his production, But it's going to open evaluators' eyes to the idea that not all diminutive wide receivers, again, relatively speaking, are bound for a path that looks more like what Tavon Austin's career was, which was when that was the naysayer version of Devontae Smith, is that, hey, Tavon Austin, electric college player, but in the pros, more of a gadget slash return man. I think Devontae's got some pressure on him, not because of anything he's done, but because of the circumstances surrounding him.
Yeah, as Dan has pointed out, Nick Sirianni's never had a quarterback who can run like Jalen Hurts, and then you add in what Devontae Smith can do, it could be a recipe for a lot of success. All right, the MLB All-Star Game is tonight in Colorado. All eyes, of course, will be on Shohei Ohtani. The Angels' two-way star is the starting pitcher for the American League, and he's also batting leadoff in the AL as a designated hitter. Of course, you saw him last night in the Home Run Derby. Got us thinking about some of the best two-way players in the NFL. Let's run through this list, guys. Number five is where we begin, and J.J. Watt is going to be a big part of this. Texans in the red zone, you see here, and look at the big man with a touchdown. Dan.
That looks like me when I get into an argument with Mina, just absolutely out-muscling her for my points. J.J. Watt, such a talented guy. I know he loves Subway and back squat.
Yeah, Mina was J.J. in that scenario. Oh, how about Deion Sanders right here? Mina, Sanders can do it all.
Gilly Prime.
Oh, I mean, you know, Deion Sanders. I'm surprised he's at four, by the way, and not one, because when you talk about two-way, Deion Prime is the guy who comes to mind. No-brainer. He's incredible.
Dontari Poe lined up at QB field.
This was truly the last time that I cried while watching professional football. 340-pound men throwing touchdown passes.
Beautiful.
Gets into my feelings more than I care to admit on national TV.
Number two, Super Bowl 39. Mike Vrabel lining up a tight end, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like him to get his hands up quicker, to be honest with you, Braves. Like, get your hands up quicker so you don't have to double catch it. Don't double catch it, Braves. Get your hands up.
There was a holding on that play, Dan. Don't worry.
Number one, you know it's going to be the fridge, right? Look at this, Mina. This guy's unbelievable.
Look at Marcus Spears.
Dude, I don't think people understood how fast refrigerator Perry was.
Like,
given his size, the speed at which he moved was, you kind of see it here, was unreal. Look at that big man.
That's like a 9-inch vertical right there.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a good athlete.
How much would they have to pay you to let Refrigerator Perry just put his helmet into your chest? Like, what is the number? Is there a number that you just go,
field? You got a number?
Run through my soul.
Yeah, the medical bill times 8, whatever that ends up being.
So probably for you, field?
A Nantucket Beach broke like every rib last year. Me again.
Yesterday on NFL Live, we discussed the top 10 quarterback list that was put out by ESPN.com. It spurred our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky, of course. He couldn't resist the opportunity to make his own list. So check this out. According to Dan Orlovsky, here's how the top 10 QB list shakes out. 1-3 status quo, right? However, the Bills' Josh Allen enters at number 4 ahead of Russ. Dak falls further down, landing at 9th on Dan's list compared to 7th. On ESPN survey, and ESPN survey, by the way, was done to all sorts of executives and coaches around the league. So that's kind of how the NFL felt. But this is how Dan feels. So, Mina, you made it known that you had several problems with Dan's list on Twitter. Dan, let's start with you. Why do you have Josh Allen over Russell Wilson?
Because he's a better player. He could do things that Russell can't right now. I think that people look at Josh Allen and like the, hey, 2020, he broke out world. If you go back into the middle of 2019, in his last, I think it's like 10 games, and then watch last season, in the last 30 starts for Josh Allen, hey, listen to this. In his last 30 starts as a pro, he's accounted for 76 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. We talk about quarterbacks and like if you have a 3-1 or 4-1 ratio, touchdown interception, you're great. I mean, that is a 6-1 ratio. It is not just last year. Right now, Josh Allen plays better football in all facets and can do more than Russell Wilson. That's why I had him better. I wanted Ryan Tannehill in the top 10. Ryan Tannehill, since he became the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, they lead the NFL in yards per play and yards per game. That is not just because of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry actually benefits more from Tannehill than Tannehill does to Derrick Henry. I threw Dak in there at number 9.
Mina.
I don't even know where to begin.
She's laughing.
All right, Dan.
No, I get that.
I know you're dressed like Gumby today, but putting Josh Allen
not dressed like
over
Gumby.
Russell Wilson is a stretch. Now, and I say that as someone who thought Josh Allen was fantastic last season. Totally deserving of being at number four if this was only considering that season. And I know you're kind of arbitrarily setting this 30 games mark, but Russell Wilson has been a top five quarterback in the NFL for nearly a decade. Meanwhile, Josh Allen, again, you're looking at an extraordinarily small sample size. And this is projecting forward. And again, I think Josh Allen is going to have another really good season, because not just because of what he did last year, but also because of the personnel around him and the coaching. But the notion that you can just say, based on one season and a half, that he's better than Russell Wilson, who's been playing at such a high level for so long. I mean, by that same logic, Justin Herbert should be better than half of the quarterbacks on this list as well, because he was better than them last year. But we have to consider more than a single season when we're looking at quarterbacks. You know that.
Right, and that's why I've considered. I mean, Russell, you said top five quarterback. I have Russell at five. I would ask you this. Who's got the stronger arm right now, Josh Allen or Russell Wilson? Josh Allen. Who can create more, Josh Allen or Russell Wilson? Josh Allen. Who's more difficult as an athlete to defend, Josh Allen or Russell Wilson? Josh Allen. Who can make more tight window throws that kind of defy the logic of, or the physics, essentially, of throwing? Josh Allen. That does, like, Russell Wilson's phenomenal. But I think Josh Allen right now is a better player.
But you know, it's consistency and record matter. Like, yes, I agree with you. At this point in his career, Josh Allen's ceiling is up there because of his athleticism, his arm strength, ability, and all that. But he did it for one season, Dan. Like, that's my issue with this. I mean, ultimately, we're quibbling about four versus five, and I'm flipping them. But I am considering the body of work here.
Okay, Dan. Sorry. Dan, we're moving to the next thing. You also had an honorable mention of someone outside your top 10 who could move up. Who is that?
Justin Herbert? Did I say Justin Herbert? I would put Herbert there. I would put, Carson Wentz. You know my guy, Carson.
What?
Producer.
You
Thank
tried
you,
to
Ashley.
Pretend like listen, you didn't I, remember? Dan, you only
no, I
remember,
remember
Carson Wentz.
I would say this, like, Dan, if Carson Wentz is healthy and Carson Wentz's mind is in a good place, because I think those are fair, somewhat questions, he's a top 10 quarterback. He's been a top 10 quarterback in 17, 18, and 19. Whatever your numbers will say it, the tape will say it, whatever we want to talk about. If, I know there's a fair ifs, he's a top 10 quarterback, it is no debate.
Mina?
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, I don't know. God, I don't even know where to begin. Carson Wentz was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. I think it would be better this season, but the notion that he's even likely to jump
to
the top 10
year.
Over some of these guys is a massive leap. And we didn't even get to you having Dak Prescott at nine, throwing him in, as you put it, which is way too low. But, you know, we don't have time.
We actually really do. We have to go to break, Dan. Go ahead.
If you think Dak deserves to be higher than nine, in the words of my best friend and a person whose name I'm correlated with a lot, Patrick Mahomes, I'll see it when I believe it.
Oh, my goodness. You just put yourself in the same conversation with Patrick Mahomes, and you forgot that Carson Wentz was your guy who might jump into the top 10. And now we welcome one of the best former NFL wide receivers, certainly the best entertainer, Chad Johnson. I'm so glad to have you here. That was fun watching you watch yourself in the highlights.
Now, those were some fun days that I was vilified for. And for some reason in today's game, it's all praised.
I know. Isn't that funny how that changed?
I have a question. Yeah. Don't you think I should file a grievance with the NFL to get my money back?
Yeah, let's work on that.
Thank you.
Give this man his money. Hey, we've seen some great moments from you and Carson Palmer in Cincinnati, right? But now there's a new 9-85 connection there. What do you see in Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and what their connection can be like?
I mean, their connection, their Wi-Fi is going to be beautiful. Their Wi-Fi is going to be beautiful, especially with the addition of Jamar Chase and obviously having Tyler Boyd, and what Zach Taylor has been able to do with that team in such a short amount of time. It's beautiful. I'm really excited for what's to come. And even with Joe Burrow running for his life, I'm just being honest, most of the season he was still productive until his injury, so I'm excited for them.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about Joe Burrow and just your immediate impressions of him watching, not only the way that he played, but the way that he handled himself, the way that he led that team. Yeah, what are your impressions?
The fact that he can come in as a rookie, be thrown to what we normally call being thrown to the Sharks or being thrown to the Wolves, and still be as poised as he was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
It's fun to watch. It's certainly been fun. We'll see what he's got coming our way next season as you watch him there and some of his great ability. Let's move a little bit to the defensive side of the ball, because you actually played DB, for those who don't know.
Yeah, people
and
don't know.
That's at a funny. Very high level, very high might level. I add. So Jalen Ramsey made some comments recently on his toughest covers in the NFL. Take a listen to this.
Well, if he didn't mention me.
So D-Hop, he always going to, you know, be at the top of my list usually. To be honest, personally, off of people I don't play, I got Odell. When Odell healthy and he on his, he tough.
Mm-hmm.
He tough for real. He just fast, twitchy,
mm-hmm.
run good routes, got great hands.
Mm-hmm.
I like his game. And then it's tough. I probably got Julio. Julio can do it all. I mean, he's
fast. He's big.
Fast, big. Catch, run good
run
routes,
great routes.
Catch, run after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
He do it all. When Julio healthy, he a dog. He a dog for sure.
All right, so I'm sorry to say, Chad, he did leave you off the list, as you were alluding to. How dare he? Who else did he leave off?
I'm not sure how many times he's had to play against Keenan Allen. That would be another guy. I think that would be a very difficult challenge for him, someone who's also always open. And he didn't mention what I'd like to consider the best receiver in today's game, in Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, he doesn't want any smoke, but you know what you do want is some more celebrations. And
yes.
You were one of the best at this, so we cannot let you go without showing some of the best celebrations of all time. Let's roll it, because this stuff is great.
Okay,
all right,
okay.
Number 10 on the list, 12-year NFL wideout Johnny Morton.
Johnny.
Doing the worm.
The worm. I haven't seen that clip in so long.
Look at him. It's a good worm, too. You know, some worms aren't quite there. All right, number 9, Quentin Nelson. How about this?
I remember this one.
Look, he's going to do a keg stand, because why not? Look at the big fella.
Keg stand. Yo.
Look at the other guys.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, how about number 8? The Packer bobsled. This is after a Devontae Adams touchdown, who we were just talking about. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, y'all
like
getting
it
on the bobsled.
Like cool runnings. I like
it.
I like it. Cool runnings.
Jamaica, we got the bobsled team. Look at them. Bonus points for creativity. All right, number 7. You can't have top celebrations
Icky,
without Icky.
The legend.
What do we got here?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You're going to try that dance in front of the mirror a little later on. I can just feel it. All right, number 6. 2004 wild card game, Vikings
Randy.
And Packers. Randy Moss.
Yeah, he caught so much flack for this, and it was so simple.
It was so funny. He
funny
did.
And simple, and he caught so much flack for it.
Man, Randy, just keep doing you. All right, straight cash, homie. Number 5, Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Primetime. Hi, Stephen.
My guy. That's legendary.
It really is. Anytime you see
legendary.
That, you don't even have to know. You know it's Primetime.
Yeah.
How about number 4, Billy Johnson, famous for the white shoes. I mean, he's one of the OGs when it comes to touchdown celebrations for white.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Number 3 is next, even though it's hard to move on from number 4. How about T.O.?
Goat.
So many good celebrations.
Goat. Yeah, there's a lot of them. That one is classic because he called that out before the game.
He did. He had that fan sharp. Oh, but you loved that one when he had the pom-poms
going. Oh, yeah, the
going.
Pom-poms was a good one.
Popcorn. He did eat something from the stands. All right, number 2, Joe Horn.
Ooh.
Cell phone.
Aaron Brooks. Call. Mama, I just scored.
Look, it's like a flip phone, too.
That Joe one was good.
All right, I think you know who number 1's going to be. How about this guy, Chad Johnson?
My marriage. She told me yes, so technically we're still married.
Oh, no. What are we going to do about
that? You know
what?
That pissed off a lot of people. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm worthy.
I love it. Call your shot. You want to wear that jacket? You can. And listen, there's still time. Okay, so here's the reality.
I love it.
There are so many great celebrations that you did,
mm-hmm.
but there's one that you didn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
You know what? I forgot. I'm not sure if it was 2005 or 2006, and we were playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. And I'm not sure if people watching at home, I'm not sure if you remember the easy button from the Staples commercial.
Yeah,
and when
easy.
You press it, it said that was easy. I think everyone in corporate America had one at their desk.
Right.
So I put one under the north and south end zone, and I was hoping to score that game and pull the easy button out and run to Carson and have him hit that button. And it's very unfortunate. I didn't get a chance to score that game.
I can't believe. So here's the funny thing. How much you want to bet somebody next season does that now?
That would
and
be
you,
good.
And you gave him and the idea.
That would be
maybe
the
Joe Burrow. You want to give him some
somebody,
easy.
Jamar, T. Higgins. And you know what comes out of that? Opportunity.
There you go.
Business opportunity.
There you go. Listen, great ideas for celebrations from one of the best to ever do it. Thanks so much, Chad Johnson, for being here on the show. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
Thank you.
You.
I appreciate it. Hey, everybody at home, I love you.
That was easy.
Justin.
Hey, can Justin Fields finally solve the Bears' QB woes? Chicago has started 33 different starting quarterbacks in the last 30 years, second most in the NFL. Eight different QBs have started a game for the Bears since Ryan Pace became the GM in 2015. None of them had an above-average total QBR, and Pace made the move to trade up to 11 to get Fields in the first round. Matt Nagy talked about the pressure to get it right at quarterback.
The time is now. We know that. And we're looking forward to it. So that's why you can't live in the past. And that's not what we're going to do. I refuse to allow that to happen. And this is a new season. And so we got a fresh start. You got to win, you know. And I think that's what we love about the fans of Chicago is they're extremely passionate.
You can hear it in Matt Nagy's voice. They understand the pressure that's on them, right? And so we're not breaking news here. There's a lot going on with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy right. trying to keep their jobs this year. Mina, what determines if both of these guys are able to hold on to their jobs?
Well, you know, Laura, it's interesting. Both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the GM, are very much so on the hot seats, and everyone knows that. But for them to keep their jobs, it's not just about winning games. To me, actually, winning games is secondary to two things. In the case of Pace, showing you pick the right quarterback, and then in the case of Nagy, developing him. That is the most important thing this football team needs to do that season. That should affect every decision they make in terms of when to play him, how to play him, how to build the offense around him. And I gotta think Bears fans feel the same way. Like, you would rather see progress from Justin Fields and feel like you finally found your quarterback after wandering in the wilderness for so long than say, I don't know, winning 10 games and then getting bounced in the wild card round. That's not worth it anymore. They want to get off that hamster wheel. And the way, you know, in order to prove that, you got to show that Justin Fields is the dude.
Dan, don't be a hamster.
They got to do both. Yeah, they got to do both. And it's double duty. They got to go to the playoffs. This is one of the six teams in the NFC that has gone to the playoffs two times in the last 3 years. And the expectation is this is a playoff football team, but they need to develop the quarterback. I would disagree with you, Mina, on that. Like, they can't go 7-10 and have Justin Fields look good and keep their jobs. They got to do both. They got to go to the playoffs because this is a playoff caliber roster. And Justin Fields has got to show that he's got a bright future. And I'm stuck on the whole, like, when Justin Fields thing. He was taken 11th. And Ohio State threw for 63 touchdowns and 9 picks as a starter. He could do everything you want. Justin Fields, you are the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears until you prove to Matt Nagy or their coaching staff that you can't do it. This is not a complicated decision. Don't be Anthony Lynn. Show that you've got a great young quarterback, but you can't win games. You'll get fired because of that.
Ooh, yeah.
Dan, I think publicly right now, part of the deference that Matt Nagy is feeling towards Andy Dalton is, one, he's a veteran who, even if imperfect, has accomplished a lot in the NFL. I think, secondly, sure. it's a lot easier for a team to see the veteran in this dynamic. If he struggles, pull the plug quickly on the veteran and turn to the rookie where there's a lot less pressure than going with the rookie right away and having the veteran hovering around him. I think those are the reasons why, at least yeah. until footballs are being thrown in training camp, we are calling Andy Dalton, tweeting Andy Dalton as QB1.
Dan, is that is that what Andy Dalton wants, though? I mean, like, we're pretending like he's going to be the quarterback, and then it's taken away from him. I realize he's a veteran, but...
Yeah, listen, Andy Dalton's one of the better, like, guys in the NFL, right? And so he's going to be handling anything that gets thrown at him. The only thing I would say is this. Where can you get with Andy Dalton with that football team? Like, you're probably a fringe wild card team. Where can you get with Justin Fields? You don't know. You could go all of a sudden become yeah. the Baltimore Ravens from two years ago and skyrocket into the playoffs because of his play. Take the handcuffs off. He's your guy.
Yeah, and if you are the Bears defense, you are probably strongly rooting for Justin Fields to get a chance. You say, we drafted this guy at 11. Let's give him a chance and see if we can finally get a quarterback that us defenders can get behind on our side of the ball. Time for one more thing before we go. Amina, I don't know, you might want to look away. DK Metcalf trying to get things done at the celebrity softball game. And it just, I don't know if baseball is his thing or softball, as it were. Big strikeout. Amina.
Big strong man.
I know, I love this because now DK knows he got to stick to football. He's not going to be trying any other sports. He's going to be a Seattle Seahawk for life.
Man, he was, Dan, he was swinging for the fences, though. And you always brag, Dan, about your prowess on the diamond. We thought you would have fared a little
better. Not an issue, Laura.
What is that?
1996 Triple Crown winner. Yeah, no big deal, guys. No big deal. I wouldn't have struggled with that.
Why do you still have it?
By the way, it's not cool to show your trophy from Little League on the on national TV. Like, I don't know if you care about being cool.
Were you not a participation trophy, Dan?
Were you guys not
Triple Crown winners? Why do you have
that? Right now, that
Dan, put your trophy away. We'll see you tomorrow.
Triple Crown.